So if I say, don't worry, be, you know what it is, don't you? Especially if you are a little older, that's just sort of a mantra that you heard so many times. I went back to just to find out, when did Bobby McFerrin sing that song, Don't Worry and Be Happy? And I was blown away. It was in 1988. Then I started worrying about how old I was. And I wasn't very happy about it. And, I come from a pretty long line of worriers. And not warriors, worriers, I guess. And, my grandmother, we should remember, she was a very anxious person. And it just kind of came down through the generations. And we were just kind of the family that there was always something that you were worried about. And if you were in that moment in which there really wasn't anything to be worried about, you were worried about that it wasn't going to last very long, so you were just sort of staying worried all the time. I don't know if you can relate to any of that. I hope that you can't. But you know, we've been in this little book of 1 Peter for several months now. Now, we're coming now to the end, and we really have two of the best-known verses of the book. And really, of all the New Testament, some of the favorite verses of people, right here in these last few verses of chapter 5 of 1 Peter. And matter of fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to look at one today, and then we're going to finish up the book of 1 Peter and do a transition to 2 Peter in a few weeks. But just to remind you that Peter's writing to a group of believers who were suffering. They were being persecuted for being Christians. And this is around AD 64, 65, and Nero is on the throne, and he's persecuting Christians, and this official persecution, this is going to last for a couple of centuries. And it's just horrible, this what's taking on. And so they've run for their life, and Peter's writing this letter to them, and he talks about suffering more than any other book in the New Testament. And especially, he writes about suffering, uses the word about 21 times. And so in verse 12 of chapter 4, he says, now, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's come upon you. So basically he says, you don't need to be surprised when hard times come and you're suffering in these fiery trials, making allusion to Nero's persecution, no doubt. And so you shouldn't be surprised when you suffer as a believer for your faith. Then at the end of chapter 4 in verse 19, he says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will. And sometimes we realize as believers, suffering is part of God's will for us. And when we suffer according to God's will, we should do two things. We should commit ourselves to a faithful Creator. And that word means we entrust and deposit ourselves with our Creator God through Jesus Christ. And secondly, we continue to do good. What happens when we go through difficult times, we become a little more inward focused on ourselves. And it's almost like we don't have really any capacity to think about anyone else and their needs. Where Peter tells us, especially when you go through times of difficulty, things are hard and you're suffering, focus on others. Take the focus off yourself and continue to do good. And then now Peter transitions to what our chapter 5 is in 1 Peter. And we looked at those four first verses last Sunday, which I just called, this is the pastor's job description. It's how to be a good shepherd. And we learned a truth there. That's so important, it reminded me especially. In times of trouble and suffering, God's people need to have good spiritual leadership. If you don't have good spiritual leadership when you're going through times of suffering and difficulty, you'll really never come out of the darkness the other side. And so it's just even more important to have good spiritual shepherding as you're going through difficult times. That brings us to verse 5. And so let's just jump into verse 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Then he says, Now, in the same way, you who are younger, now remember, he talked about the elders, which was a position of leadership, of shepherding, a pastor, but it also referred to not just spiritual maturity, but even physical, biological maturity. So he said, now in the same way, those of you who are younger, submit yourselves to elders. And so there's that order of submission, and Peter talks a lot about submission. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And so now he talks about how important it is that submission in the body of Christ takes place, the younger to the older, and all of you, that's basically what I would say, all of you all, submit yourselves, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. And so he says, all of you, that's everyone. So he says, everyone within the body of Christ, within the church, should clothe yourself with humility. And now he's talking about the necessity of humility within the church. It really is one of the essentials that you must have within the church family. It is humility. Nothing causes more division within the church than pride. And pride destroys a church fellowship, a church unity. It destroys really every relationship that you might ever be in. And so there's necessity of humility within the church. And so Peter says, clothe yourself with humility. Now the word used there for clothe is the word that would be used basically just to hang on something. Or it's a word that would describe a slave that's putting on the apron of a slave that goes about doing the duties of a slave. One translation even went to say, put on the overalls of humility. Now, some of you don't even know what overalls are, but you know, overalls really, when you see somebody in overalls, it just says humility. Well, they used to say humility. Now they're kind of a fashion statement, I think, for some kids. But it says you put them on because you're going to go do work, and you're going to go do hard work. And so you clothe yourself with humility. And I kind of think that Peter is remembering that night in the upper room where he saw Jesus take off his outer garment and wrap around himself a towel. I think that's what he has in his mind. And so he sees that image of humility. The ultimate example of humility, Jesus taking the slave's towel, the water and basin, and begins one by one washing their feet. And so he says, humble yourselves towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble, and talks about that truth coming from Proverbs 3 and God's at 4. And I would say, if you want God against you, be proud. Proud, be prideful. And if you want God to favor you, be humble. Then he says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Then verse 7, which could be probably several of your favorite verses here, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. You know, cast all your worries on him. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. And so the command is, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and just be utterly dependent upon God's mercy and grace, and cast all your care upon him. So this is how Peter sings that little ditty. Don't worry, be humble. Don't worry, be humble. And humility there, under God's mighty hand, he's going to lift you up in due time, so you've got complete trust in him. You take all those worries, all those anxieties, all those cares, and you just cast them upon him. And that word cast, this literally means to throw. It means that you just throw them on Christ. Why? Well, because he cares for you. And this is such a well-known, I hold on to this verse a lot. I try to remember this verse anytime I find just what seems to be just undue worry and anxiety that can't just quite get past. Just try to take it and cast it upon Jesus. Now that word that is used for worry, it's an interesting word. The Greek or the original word is merimna. Merimna means to pull apart and to be divided. And so if you are anxious and you're filled with worry, it's like your mind is divided and it's being pulled apart in every direction. And let me tell you, when you're facing trials and suffering, it's very easy to be filled with anxiety and fear. It can be overwhelming. And so Peter's writing to some people who no doubt feel overwhelming anxiety and fear and says, don't worry, be humble, throw all your worries upon him. Don't have this divided mind that's pulling you apart. Now, let me just say, of course, all of us have real legitimate concerns in this life. And a legitimate concern is something that we can do something about and we should do something about and we should act upon that. However, we've moved from a healthy concern about something to this tearing apart of anxiety and worrying, this oppressive, crippling worry when we can't sleep because we can't stop thinking about what might happen. And so there's hours and hours of sleeplessness. We feel guilty whenever we just stop for a moment and try to rest and relax. You know, this is overwhelming, crippling anxiety where we're afraid of something all the time. All the time. That when we feel panic in certain situations, we just refuse to honestly deal with our own feelings and emotions. Overwhelming worry and anxiety will cause us to blame others for everything. It's always somebody else that's doing something. And we just have this fear of this looming, impending disaster. That's the kind of anxiety that happens. It's really just tearing you apart mentally, emotionally, even physically at times, and ultimately spiritually. You know, there's a physical condition where the heart gets out of rhythm in its beating. You know, it's called AFib, atrial fibrillation. And I know several of you in the room have had it, you suffered from it. My father had it, and one thing they can do, they can, go in there and put some leads on your heart, and they give you a little electrical shock and shock your heart back into rhythm. But your heartbeat gets out of rhythm, it gets out of sync. And so you have AFib. And in my mind, worry and anxiety is a little bit like AFib because your mind starts to get out of rhythm and doesn't beat correctly. It doesn't think correctly. It's offbeat. It's out of beat. And so it's just not beating like it should. And this isn't just an emotional concern or a psychological concern, which I can tell you, the greatest concern that psychologists in the secular world today have for the younger generation today is an overwhelming sense of anxiety that they're suffering from. There's a couple of things that have contributed to that. The pandemic and social media, to where this young generation has been dubbed the anxious generation. And so they're just dealing with all kinds of worries, anxiousness, and anxiety. And it might be even you as a parent are trying to, how can I help my young child deal with some of these worries and anxieties that seem to be just tearing them apart? And I say it's not just emotional, it's just not physical, but it's, you know, psychological, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual aspect. Worry hurts our testimony. If we're no different than anybody else, and we share the same concerns and worries they do. They see nothing different in our life. We have no testimony to give them. Really, let me tell you about worry and anxiety. It's an insult to God and a lack of trust. You basically are telling God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. There's nothing you can do about this. And ultimately, we're told in the scripture that this kind of anxiety and worry is a sin. It's not just a psychological problem, an emotional issue. It's a sin spiritually, because it's basically telling God he's not God and I don't trust him. So here's the question. What do we do about worry? Right, so, you know, what do we do about, what do we worry about? What do we worry about? I thought I could catch this one. So I got another slide that says, what do we worry about? I think, maybe. What do we worry about? Maybe I don't have another slide that says, I worry about that slide changing, is what I'm worried about. And so there we go. What do we worry about? Everything. You know, you just put everything. We worry about everything, and specifically, in general, we worry about the future. And so anytime that I see any study that does something about that, that list really of the top concerns that people are worried about today, you'll see right at the top always, well, what do you worry about? Health. We're worried about our health, particularly the older we get, we begin to worry more about our health. And right along with our health is our money, our wealth. And so we worry about our health and our wealth, and thrown right in there to mix it all up is we worry about our relationships. You know, in our marriage, with our family, friendships, we worry about our relationships. Those are always at the top. I would imagine if you were just to take the top one or two things that you really are worried about today, that would probably be in one of those two or three things that you're worried about. To broaden it out, you really can say we worry about uncontrollable circumstances. I mean, just things we have no control over. You know, or we worry about unchangeable people. You know, we want to change people. We want them to be different. And we worry about that. And of course, there's these unexplainable problems that come up. You know, I just don't even understand why this happened. And so all of this tells us why worry is a sin, because it's the lack of trust in God that results in the absence of the peace of God in our life. And so it really is, it's a spiritual issue in that way. So the other question then is, well, why do we worry? Why do we worry? Well, one reason is that we are not in control of things that we want to be in control of. These are these uncontrollable circumstances, these people that we can't change. There's things that we just can't do anything about, and we have this feeling of being out of control and vulnerable. And so we worry about it. But the other flip side is that we worry because we don't completely trust God. You know, God, I think you can do a lot of things. I'm just not sure you're going to take care of this thing. I'm going to worry about it instead of trust you about it. You know, this is what Paul said in Philippians 4:6, which goes right along with 1 Peter 5:7, where Paul says, don't worry about anything. Nothing? Don't worry about anything? Wow. And this is a command. It's an imperative that means stop worrying about anything, which suggests it's possible to stop worrying about things. It doesn't mean you're not concerned about legitimate concerns, but you just have to let go of those things and trust God when you can't. And so Peter's writing to these suffering believers. He's going to give them one parting shot, and he tells to them, don't worry, be humble, throw all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Now, where did that come from? Well, I happen to think that maybe Peter's remembering a sermon that he heard Jesus preach a few years earlier, really near the beginning of the ministry that had gone public of Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It's probably the most famous sermon in the world. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It was preached by Jesus. It was heard by the multitudes. It was heard by Peter. And I think Peter always had these words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount on his mind. And so I'm not going to take you there. I'm just going to give you a quick run through there. I can't just take the time to fully unload it. But this is what Jesus said. I think Peter's got in his mind. In Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry." I mean, Peter says don't worry. Paul says don't worry. They come from Jesus who says don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about your body or what you'll wear. Man, he knocks out some big stuff right there. Don't worry about your body, your health. Don't worry about your eat or drink, your finances. Don't worry about your clothes, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So this is what Jesus is saying. Worry is unreasonable. It just doesn't change anything. It doesn't make anything better. And so don't worry. It's unreasonable. And then Jesus continues down in verse 26. Say, now look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He provides for them. He cares for them is the implication. Are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer is yes. To which Jesus says then, well, worry is unnatural. It's unreasonable. It's unnatural. You have a Father who cares for you. Don't worry. Then he says in verse 27, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No. The answer is implied, no. To where Jesus is saying, well, worry is unhealthy and it is unhelpful. And so look at what he says right there. He says, it's unreasonable, it's unnatural, it's unhealthy. It's just not profitable in any way. Then he says in verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, he says, saying, what am I going to eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? How am I going to pay the rent? What's going to happen to my kids? I'm afraid of this doctor's appointment. He just says, worry is totally unnecessary for the believer. It's just unnecessary. And for Jesus, he just says, worry is just this exercise in futility. It's a demonstration of faithfulness. And I think Peter has all of that just on the forefront of his mind when he writes these words and he tells them in verse 7, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And so how can you stop worrying? And so I'm going to tell you how you can stop worrying. This doesn't happen in the moment. It's part of growing in our faith and spiritual maturity. But this is how to stop worrying. First of all, be sure you know God. Be sure you have a relationship with the living God. So Jesus continues on in this little sermon and says in verse 32, he says, for the pagans, these are unbelievers, for non-Christians run around after all these things. What? The things you eat, drink, wear. They run around off. And your heavenly Father knows that we need these things. He knows you need them. And so people who don't know God, who don't know how God works, they don't believe or even know that God is in control and that God says to his children, trust me. What, and why does he say that? Because he cares for us. They don't know that. If you know him, you trust him, and you know that he cares for you. So be sure that you know him. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, and your sins are forgiven. Then he says, secondly, not only be sure you know him, but put God first in your life. So he says in verse 33 of Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Now, what are all these things? Well, they're all those things you're worrying about. Whatever it is you're worrying about, that's one of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else finds itself in order under that. Worry is a sin because it's a lack of trust in God. Now, let me wrap it up. Thirdly, he says, trust God to care for you. You just trust God to care for you. So in verse 34, Jesus says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the future. Can't do anything about it. Because tomorrow, it's going to have enough worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I love the paraphrase in the Message that says it this way. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. You just trust him. He'll take care of things. And so this is what Peter says. The Living Translation of 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares for you. Now that word, cast or give, it's the word throw. It's the same word that would be used of taking a blanket and throwing it on the back of a donkey. It's the same word that's used of Jesus' triumphal entry. You just take your worries and you throw them. You cast them. You pile all your troubles up on God's shoulders. He can handle it. He can handle it. And so you don't surrender to your circumstances. You surrender your circumstances to the Savior. And why do you do that? Well, because he cares about you. He loves you. It's as if he says, if I love you so much, I'll die for you. Don't you think I love you enough to take care of you? And I'm not going to forget you. That you take all these problems of life, and when all these problems in life, they cause us to question God's love for us. Because this is what we do. All of us do it. The first sign of trouble in our life, we wonder, well, I wonder what I've done to make God mad and why he doesn't love me. And that's just the devil. Because you can be right in the center of God's will. And the more you're in the center of God's will, the more likely you are to have a lot of trouble in life. How do you do that? Well, you do it by prayer. You simply do it by prayer. Let me tell you, worry is forgetting who God is. Prayer is remembering who God is. It's just simply this. Have you forgotten who God is and filled with worry? Or do you remember who God is and you're filled with prayer? Because this is really what Paul finished saying in Philippians 4:6. He says, don't worry about anything. But he just didn't say that as a blanket command with no help. He says, instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's already done. Then you're going to experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live for Christ Jesus. So basically what Peter says, don't worry. Be humble. Humble yourself. And the way you humble yourself is you cast all your anxieties and worries on him. And that's something that you do. Cast all your cares upon him. There's something you believe that he cares for you. And there's someone you can trust. It's God through his son, Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll take every worry, every anxiety you have, and throw it upon him. be humble. Don't worry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the hope that you give us, that when we trust you, our sins are forgiven. And Father, we have a life that can be filled with joy and really can be worry-free. It doesn't mean we don't have problems and don't have really legitimate concerns in life. But yet we know we can come to you and trust them to you. And Father, I pray all over this auditorium today, prayers are going up of casting our cares and our worries upon you. It might be our health. It might be our financial situation. It might be our physical condition. It could be a relationship that's broken and fractured. Whatever it is that grips us, Father, can we cast it upon you today and trust you completely? And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.